out of his standing, and he's jumping, and he's wiggling, and he's waving his fingers. Oh, look at him wiggle. Look at him wiggle. Oh, yeah. Look at him wiggle.
One, two, three, four.
Well, he was just 17, did you know what I mean? And the way she looked was way beyond compare. So how could I dance with another?
In London, riots in Paris, pandemonium in New York. The four craziest haircuts in the world descended on New York last Friday, determined to infect America with a fever that's running rampant in Europe these days, a thing called Beatlemania. What's Beatlemania? What are the Beatles? What's all the screaming about? Well, in the next 55 minutes, we're going to answer these questions as Wins invites you to meet the Beatles. And I'm Murray the K. Favorite record, incidentally, I saw you standing there. And for those of you who have any doubt in your mind that the Beatles are what's happening, Dad, well, then listen as Wins reporter Paul Parker tries to describe the swinging scene at Kennedy Airport last Friday.
There they are! It's just wild here. The four Beatles have... The four Beatles have left the airplane. They're standing on the ramp, or rather on the stairway, going down. There's that fabulous hairdo. And one of them is standing, and he's jumping, and he's wiggling, and he's waving his fingers. Oh, look at him wiggle. Look at him wiggle. Look at him wiggle.
This is just almost impossible to describe. Hundreds of persons have gathered around the Beatles down on the ground. Apparently, this has been quite an event for the old-timers out here at Kennedy Airport. They've seen a lot of dignitaries come and go.
High school Beatles.
Chiefs of state, world-renowned scientists, artists, but nothing to compare with the Beatles, they tell me. Well, they're locking arms now. Apparently, they're going to make a concerted effort to get through into the building, where in just a few moments a scheduled press conference will begin. Murray the K is downstairs manning a Wins microphone and will be covering every exciting move and minute of the Beatles here at Kennedy Airport.
And I was down there at the most frenzied press conference Kennedy Airport has ever seen.
Can we please have quiet?
Quiet, kids.
Hey, hey!
Let the feasting begin.
Unless you keep quiet, we can't even have a press. Will you please shut up? Shut
up. How was your trip over?
Fine, very nice.
A bit bumpy over Alaska, though. Have you ever seen a reception like this in any of the...
No, it's the best ever we've ever had.
What do you think of Beethoven?
There's one over here.
Especially his poems. Do you hope to get a haircut at all while you're in this?
No.
I had one yesterday.
Watson, they said he had a haircut yesterday, and he is so full of hair, you can't see his face right now.
No, he didn't.
You should have seen him the day before.
What about all this talk that you represent some kind of a social rebellion?
It's a dirty lie.
Dirty lie.
He said you're nothing before Elvis Presley.
He must be blind.
It's not true.
Would you please sing something?
No.
Sorry.
Next question.
There's some doubt that you can sing.
No, we need money first.
Outside the airport, four Cadillacs were standing by. One for each of the Beatles, you know. One for each. And where were they going to take them to New York State? Sophisticated Plaza Hotel.
Almost all right here is being made by...
the reporters as they try to get towards the Beatles. They're coming out of the last car now at the Plaza Hotel, ducking underneath the marquee, waving to the kids across the street as the policemen from the 18th precinct rush them in underneath the big canopy outside of the hotel now. It was a fast move. They hardly had time to know they were arriving. There was a quick toot on the horn, and then suddenly they were inside and out of sight completely. Across the street, the kids who have been lining up here since about 2 o'clock this afternoon had just about enough chance to take one quick look, to wave three times at the kids as they ran by, and then it was all over. Now, directly across from the hotel, between the fountain and the marquee of the hotel, the policemen are leaning against the gray barricades with sawhorses, trying to keep them back, to keep them from overflowing into the street, where traffic has continued to move. At least five photographers down toward the end, who had taken about 25 minutes to get themselves set up on top of step ladders to get a good view of the proceedings, never did get a shot at all. They were turned the wrong way. And right now, in the midst of all this, a gentleman drove up in a taxi cab and gets out with the most puzzled expression you ever saw. He must think he's on the wrong planet, not in front of the wrong hotel. This is Jim Gordon at the Plaza.
The Plaza may never recover. In other words, they don't know what's happened, Dad. The crowds, though, they're still there, waiting for just one glimpse of their idols.
There at the window?
Yeah! They're coming out! They're coming out! Are they coming out? Are they coming out?
I was going to ask you if they're coming out. They've been inside for 10 minutes now. What are you still doing here? What's your favorite Beatles song? Sing a little bit.
You and that record and at least two others have been smash hits in the United States for about a month. One alone, I Want to Hold Your Hand, has sold over 1 million in just 1 month. In fact, for the first time in our memory, and as far as we're concerned, ever, three records by the Beatles share the number one spot on the Wins 10 and 10 list, a feat not even accomplished by Elvis Presley, who created a little bit of a storm himself, if you remember. And all this without having ever been seen in performance in this country. And when you're asked to do three Ed Sullivan shows in a row, man, that's really happening. I mean, you're in gear, dear.
And their two concerts at Carnegie Hall were sold out only hours after they were announced. And there's a rumor on Broadway that ticket scalpers are getting as much as $75 a pop for what is now the hottest ticket in New York. But if they are that big here after only 1 month, think of what it's like in England after 18 months. But then again, it shouldn't come as a great surprise to us to see an English group take over the American popular music market like this. Some of Broadway's biggest hit shows like Oliver, Stop the World, Beyond the Fringe, Luther, all these have been imported from England. The New York film critics have just voted the English movie Tom Jones's best film of the year. And we've even adopted the satirical British TV show That Was the Week That Was as part of our own weekly TV scene. And now, the Beatles. Let's learn more about them, who they are, where they come from. Jim Anderson reports from England.
There's a saying in England that when you're tough and you come from Liverpool, you're tougher than anybody else. Liverpool is a seaport town full of sailors from all over the world. They say you can tell when the pubs are closed in Liverpool because then the fistfights move out onto the street. Liverpool is where the Beatles come from. But in the case of these four young men with weird Ishkabibble-style haircuts, the Liverpool toughness has come out in a fierce dedication to their kind of music and to success. The success is apparent. Never in the history of England has there ever been such an overpowering, irresistible, saturation kind of success. The Beatle records are automatically in the first 10 in the British hit parade on advance sales alone. Who are the Beatles and what has this kind of success done to them? Collectively, they're a close-knit group of four, all sing, three play guitar, one plays the drums. Individually, they are John Lennon, 24 years old, married, one baby son, the unofficial leader of the group, and generally regarded as the brainiest of the Beatles. He composes some of the Beatle hits, also draws strange, scratchy-looking cartoons, and writes equally strange poetry. Second is Paul McCartney, 22 years old, unmarried, also writes some of the Beatle hits, and has dreams of someday being a ballad-type singer, and he has the best singing voice of the four. Third is George Harrison, 21 years old, the most casual one in the group, with no greater ambition than to retire someday with what he calls a whacking great pile of money. Fourth is Ringo Starr. Ringo is a name he was given because he likes to wear rings. He's 24 years old, the drummer. He joined the group late, only about a year ago, and added his driving drum style. It was a magic ingredient because the Beatles' soaring success began when Ringo came in, the quiet one in the group. Ringo's ambition is to own a string of beauty parlors someday. The Beatles' success has made them into almost refugees. Sometimes they have to adopt disguises to escape their adoring, screaming fans.
And those screaming Beatles fans are excited about a sound. We call it the Liverpool sound. The English call it the Mersey sound. Now, we'll find out more about that in a minute. Right now, let's hear a little more of it. This is the number one record all over America. I want to hold your hand.
Inside, it's such a feeling that
call the Mersey Sound. Now, how did it all begin? Rod McLeish has that story in London.
Since the war, the transatlantic traffic in pop music has been from west to east, from America to Europe. Critics over here say that there is a 10-year lag between American and European music tastes. But now, suddenly, the Mersey Sound has reversed the trend. But what is this sound, and how did it start? The Mersey, from which the sound takes its name, is a big, dirty river flowing down to the sea in northwestern England. And on the banks of the Mersey, there is a big, dirty city called Liverpool. In its cellars, joints, and back rooms, the Mersey Sound is as common as the smoky air. Jim Anderson is up in Liverpool with a definition, such as it is, of the Mersey Sound.
This is what the Mersey Sound used to be, the cry of gulls and the rumble of a ship's engine on the Mersey River, a wide estuary leading to the deep sea port of Liverpool. But the Mersey Sound is now something else. Thumping of a bass guitar in one of the basement coffee bars of Liverpool. The newest and most thriving industry here in Liverpool on the banks of the Mersey River is this sound. Generally three guitars and a drum and four male voices. Nobody quite agrees on what this Mersey Sound really is. But here's one expert opinion from a Liverpool music store owner.
Well, it's a sort of rhythmic beat music which started off here in Liverpool. Guitars have always been more popular in other parts of the country, really. I started myself, you know, 20 years ago. And these kids just started off in roundabouts in these cellars, banging away at the guitar, and they got this sort of sound, which is, it's very similar to what American music, the old jazz days, how it started off. It's developed from there, and I think they're getting a better sound now than when they started off, and that's why it's caught on. With all this electronic business, you can get, with just a few notes, you can get a big sound with the echo effects and whatnot.
What do you think it is about the Beatles particularly which has enabled them to make it so big?
Well, there's no doubt that they're worshipped by the girls, the Beatles, the young girls, and they have these hairstyles and whatnot. They're full of life. They do play better than most of the other groups, I think, there's nothing about, and there must be a bit of sex or something in it, but it seems all good fun.
Nobody agrees on the definition, but there's no mistaking it when you hear it. It's loud, you can literally feel the music in the caves where it's played, the brick walls tremble, and you can feel the air rush past when the huge loudspeakers amplify every throb of the bass guitar. As the first jazz came up the Mississippi, so did this music come up the Mersey. But the path is more involved than that first trip north from New Orleans. If Liverpool is the birthplace of this sound that the Beatles best represent, then Hamburg, Germany is the incubator. The best of the beat groups, the Beatles among them, serve their apprenticeships in the Seder nightclubs along the Reeperbahn in Hamburg. The music that they play here in Liverpool and develop in Hamburg was brought to Europe from America. The skill was sharpened against the international edge of sailors' tastes. They want their music simple, they want it loud, and they don't want phony sophistication. The result? The Mersey Sound. It's a boom industry here in Liverpool. The sharpest businessmen no longer wait for inside tips on the stock market or back new restaurants with their money. They shop around until they find a promising beat group and invest in the future by financing four young men and their guitars. One man in the music business sat down the other night and was able to list more than 200 active groups from Liverpool alone in a half an hour. There are girl groups, there are bearded groups, there is one group made up of 9 and 10-year-olds. In the increasingly tough world of Merseyside, there are 10 younger groups snapping at the heels of every senior citizen, that is to say, anyone on the shady side of 23. Much of this can be traced back to the Beatles and the success they have had. Listen to a Liverpool music store owner whom I had asked Has the Beatles' success had any effect on guitar sales?
Oh, it's been fantastic, really. Every kid now, 13 years, 14 years of age, wants a guitar to start and play like the Beatles, you know? And drummers like Ringo Starr. Oh, they've had a fantastic influence on the beat scene in Liverpool.
So this is just the beginning.